You know, it's been a bit of a controversial off-air debate between Bomani Jones and myself because last week on the Big Suey, Bomani Jones didn't really explain the take. He just threw it out there that the white quarterback might be endangered. And I've had phone conversations with Bomani. The reason why I don't want to do this on the air is because it's an automatic L. Hell, it's an automatic L just because you guys publicly know Bomani is on one side and I'm on the other. I've had the winning argument before in my one on-air debate with Bomani Jones, where I was siding with Kyle Shanahan and he was siding with RG3. And
I still
lost that debate.
Oh, okay.
I mean, history... I mean, history tells me that I won that one. But my argument sort of rested on the fact that, well, you can say they're endangered when two out of the top three quarterbacks getting drafted were white in the last draft, and the top quarterback in next year's draft was white. I was looking at it pragmatically. The pathway to the league is still very much loaded with white quarterbacks.
To be white.
Right.
The pathway to the league at that position is still to be white.
Right. He's like, well, the draft isn't the barometer, and that's where our fundamental disagreement is. I'm not talking about elite top tier people, where there's three in the top tier and only one white quarterback, and he was drafted 15 years ago, if we're excluding Andrew Luck from the conversation.
You're talking about investments in the future.
I'm saying you can say they're an endangered species when there's no sign of it letting up in the draft.
When we're still working on them in the lab, we're trying to produce clones in the lab. You can't say a species is endangered when we have the stem cells to clone them.
You can't say it when Arch Manning goes out on a high school football field last night and delivers one of the greatest quarterback performances I've ever seen. I am telling you, the white quarterback is alive and well.
Precisely.
Stugatz came in saying Cooper Manning's going to have the last laugh.
He is.
Cooper Manning's kid is going to be better than both of them.
I got to tell you, the kid looks exactly like Peyton. Except he's mobile.
Yeah.
Mike, he could scoot.
I don't know if you guys paid attention.
Is he a sophomore?
Yes.
A high school sophomore.
He's 6'1", 180 pounds.
On ESPN2.
Yes. Yep.
But he wasn't the Manning that won social media. Peyton was. Because I don't know if you saw this
shirtless,
viral photo.
Shirtless Peyton?
Of shirtless Peyton Manning, absolutely cut up, looking like nothing we pictured in our minds.
D'Angelo's.
Right. Because there was, remember that ridiculous story that I think came from like Al Jazeera, that there was like performance enhancers delivered to his house, but in his wife's name. And we're like, okay, maybe that's for the neck, but look at his physique. Come on. How much could it possibly help?
He also got that blood spinning in Germany like Kobe, didn't he? Didn't he also get the blood spun treatment?
I think there was a private airplane to Germany at some point. I can't confirm that myself.
I'm checking on it.
You weren't there. You weren't on the private plane.
I wasn't there. I know that Kobe very publicly was the face of that procedure.
You weren't in the German clinic either. No. You weren't in.
What do I Google here? Peyton Manning, Germany.
Just blood spinning.
Okay, yeah. Blood
just
spinning.
Just blood spinning. Peyton.
Manning, German blood. Okay. But I mean, this body transformation
German blood
from Peyton Manning made me feel all sorts of bad because everyone's feeling the pandemic a little bit, right? You have like the one off that's like, well, I use this opportunity to work on me and now look at me. I'm shredded. Look at the body transformation pre-pandemic before. But those are outliers.
He's got a six pack.
He's got more than the six pack, Dan. He's got an eight pack and he's got the side shreds. He looks amazing. How did he do it?
Put it on the poll, please, Guillermo, at Lebatard Show. Is Peyton Manning having German blood cheating? He has the D'Angelo's. What, Billy? Why are you making a face at me, Billy? What happened?
Nothing.
Okay.
Catch Peyton's places on ESPN+.
I'm getting to it.
Yeah. That's what's happening there. Yeah. So you put people in awkward positions with the way that you title some of these. Some of these poll questions. And I've heard back from Neil Diamond's camp, and they agree. You put me in a terrible position during yesterday's postgame show.
You getting them on, though? Or?
No. At no point was any of what I shared with you laying the foundation for having Neil Diamond, who is going through a very public but also private illness, right? Not doing the interview circuit, although I'm surprised to learn he just dropped an album today.
Can it be both, private and public? I mean,
he gave a public explanation, but he has cut the world off.
I feel like we should just all take a second, smell the coffee a little bit. Neil Diamond's people are listening to this postgame
show. Fight through it. I hope he wasn't listening to that. I hope Neil Diamond and Neil Diamond's people were not listening to you clearing breakfast from your throat this
morning. Happy Friday, everybody.
Hey, that a boy. It says here Peyton Manning won't be the last star linked to stem cell. I don't know if that's what we're looking for. It's in ESPN.com, a very long piece. I don't feel like reading it right now. I didn't feel like reading it then.
It's okay. Oh, here's all you have to do. Control-F Germany.
Chris, really? What did you just pick up in your right hand and throw across the room? Was that a microphone? What was that that you hurled across the room in your right
hand? It was a microphone. Let me get it. Yeah.
Stugatz, do you know what D'Angelo's are? I don't say this to trap you in any way. I just want to make sure that the audience knows what we're talking about.
I have no idea.
All right. So do you know who D'Angelo is?
D'Angelo Williams. Yes, of course.
My guess is that D'Angelo also has D'Angelo's, but the singer D'Angelo, the musician, the entertainer, shirtless on the cover of one of his albums, famously just drenched in oily syrup. He has those flanks below the abs that sort of connect your thighs and everything beneath it. They're like flumes of musculature and sexy below the pant line.
Commonly referred to as the man V.
So they showed Eli Manning on Highly Questionable. They showed him, shirtless at the beach as well. And I was calling his the D'Angelo's because he didn't have D'Angelo's. He just had what my body looks like, the D'Angelo's. That's all he had.
The D'Angelo's. That's one of the more sexual music videos ever. D'Angelo's How Does It Feel? Very simple. Black backdrop. Just one person. Totally nude. The camera pans very low, but not to the pubic region. Obviously a Manscaped customer.
All right, I see the D'Angelo's now on D'Angelo. I mean, he looks good.
Not a hair on his body. The skin of a skin of a porpoise.
Just for one day, I want to look like that. I mean,
that just proves that working out's not that important. Eli Manning, 2-time champion.
Yeah.
No, Eli Manning.
He beat Tom Brady twice.
He is a 2-time champion, just like Peyton Manning. That's right. You're very right.
Well, I mean, wouldn't Dion Waiters be the example of that? Have you guys seen this video of
J.R. Smith is also a 2-time champion.
But J.R. Smith can go shirtless. Dion Waiters hasn't. I don't know. I'm sure Billy's seen this video of Dion Waiters on the bus leaving the arena after their championship. He's like, they wanted to doubt Philly Cheese. They don't call me Philly Cheese anymore. CC, Champ Cheese. And he was just like talking to all the doubters. And I was watching that. I'm like, okay, you won a ring. You didn't really make the contributions. But this is
adversity. He was hurt.
But this is adversity.
He tried to bury him 3 times. He said it in the videos.
But it's adversity that he is himself to blame for, right? He came into camp out of shape. No. He lost his job to a 19-year-old white guy from Wisconsin. He passed.
How many rings does that guy have?
I mean, one less than Philly Cheese, but this
Champ
is
Cheese. This is get it right. We couldn't do better than that nickname. Does that flow? Champ Cheese?
Oh yeah, that's a great nickname.
I like it.
Billy, I honestly don't understand the level to which you are in the tank for Dion Waiters, unless I think about it for a second, right? You're the guy who's afraid corporately of making fun of Peyton Manning being shirtless, but as an anarchist, you love Dion Waiters because he's the guy in the middle of heat culture doing the edibles.
Well, I think Billy,
he was poisoned. We've been over this multiple times, and he was the good teammate that didn't want to tell on any of his teammates and what happened. Listen. They wanted to get away from Dion and paying him that money, all right? That's why they kept suspending him to not have to pay him. Let's not pretend that that was not a factor in all of this.
Agreed. Like, they were clearly punishing him for embarrassing them again and again publicly.
Yeah,
and
he gave them that avenue.
Like, it wasn't Pat Riley who did too many edibles on the plane and then started fining him.
I mean, you can't rule it out. It is the perfect plan. We're going to make it look like he did this himself.
Mm-hmm. Just a good teammate through and through. Didn't snitch on anyone. Yep. And he was rewarded in the end. Good for Dion.
Got a ring.
So what is it? Cheese Champ or Champ Cheese? What is he calling himself?
Champ Cheese. It was Philly Cheese, Big Cheese. Now it's Champ Cheese. CC.
Yeah, Cheese Champ changes the meaning of it. And it's probably
I'm the Cheese Champion.
Probably more accurate of a nickname, but he's going Cheese Champ.
You're jealous?
I beat out Andy Reid at the local fair for Cheese Champion.
Who else is in that competition?
He loves Andy Reid loves Cheese Whiz. It's true. I'm not making that up. Those words have come out of that mouth from under that mustache.
I don't know if you guys have noticed, the Big Suey's already out, so this is a local hour, and it's a Football Friday, Dano. So, ooh. I pose this question to you and the shipping container. The Miami Dolphins, what's up with that?
They are a well-coached, disciplined team, maxing out their talent. I am stunned when I read the stories saying that the Miami Dolphins are, and I've read multiple stories, and it makes me scratch my head because I guess I'm consumed with two decades of bias, but that the Miami Dolphins are in a position to be dynastic. Like, I don't understand the number of steps being skipped by everybody. I'd like them to just be good, to just know that they're going to go into San Francisco and not be totally stunned by the result when they win by blowout against a broken 49ers.
But it seemed like they were building this foundation last year, and it's carried over to this year. And then moving forward, I think, is what people are projecting. You already have Tua. You have your own number one pick this year, and you have the Texans' number one pick this year. Like, you can make this thing really good really quickly with the right pick.
You say that, but they, with those first-round picks that they had Minkah Fitzpatrick and Laremy Tunsil and had to rebuild it over and over again because they've taken offensive linemen with number one picks. They had Marquise, they had Maurice Pouncey. Or no, I'm getting his name wrong. Marcus.
They had Mike.
What Mike Pouncey?
It's Mike Pouncey.
So, and I, you know what just happened to me there?
What?
Marquise, I just come on. Yes, age just happened to me there. But I
think it was the NBA playoffs that happened.
It did.
There.
It was Marquise Morris and Marcus Morris that stuck me up on the Pounceys. It's absolutely what happened
Two
there.
Two sets of twins, a double M. I get it.
I think he added a third. There was a Mark Pouncey to a Marquise, a Mark, and a Mike.
I stumbled all through that minefield of Pounceys. I did, and Morris's. Hey, by the way, a back alley from hell, that one. Like, I don't want to get into any fights with anybody in that.
That's one of those that I just put, like, the spinning medieval weapon with, like, a bunch of spikes at the end of a ball in the middle of the room.
I am terrified. I wet myself throughout that alley walking through the Morris's and the Pouncey.
I'm not even certain where you were headed with it. Do you remember? Like,
they drafted a bunch of first-round pick offensive linemen. Is it possible? This is what I do wonder. Is it possible that the first wave of Belichick assistants were the fools and the dopes, and that Vrabel and Flores have actually learned something? That
this is explain like the Giants head coach.
Yeah, well, Joe Judge. But this is like the fourth wave of assistants. I mean, Bill Belichick's been running football since 2000, right? And we've had there have been several OCs and DCs that have stood next to him. Who is the most successful example? It's got to be Nick Saban. It's got to be in another sport because even he was a failure in the NFL.
I'm wondering, Stugatz, if you've heard anything. And Chris, you've been reading Dolphin stuff. Have you heard anyone saying that the Dolphins are anything other than well-coached? Have you heard anyone say anywhere that their structure isn't now finally the right structure, which is so interesting in these times? Because Stephen Ross has been caught in the middle of this race stuff, Stugatz, where he is actually progressive. He's got a ton of money. He's given money to Trump, but his front office, the Dolphins have the blackest front office power structure in the league, do they not? Like just in the entire sport.
Well, Chris Greer, their general manager and their head coach. So yeah, they have a GM and a head coach who are both black. I'm not sure how many other teams have that. I mean,
in terms of power structure with minorities, Ron Rivera and Jason Wright now in Washington because we had the offseason of correction for the Washington football team.
Yeah, but
team. That
one is funny, right? Because you just put the black guy in charge of Washington and the first thing they did was get rid of the black quarterback when they don't have a better one. And it's not to say that Haskins is any good, but the guys that they have beneath him in Kyle Allen and Alex Smith are also not any good and not as young, although Kyle Allen is only 10 months older than Haskins.
Not their guy, and Ron Rivera does have a bit of credibility when it comes to playing the right quarterback.
Well, but wait a minute. It isn't their guy, but Kyle Allen being his guy is a BS guy for him to attach himself to. Like Kyle Allen as a player.
I just feel like we're splitting hairs. Allen, I would take over Dwayne Haskins at this point.
That's fine. No,
but this year should have been about Haskins.
But Kyle,
totally.
Mike, Kyle Allen just got benched for that Alex Smith. Like,
no, he got hurt.
No, he got no. He was cleared to come back into the game and didn't come back into the game because they kept Alex Smith out there.
Yeah, and it was a bad call because Kyle Allen was performing well in that game. He got knocked out of the game and then he was cleared by the medical staff and they decided to let it ride with Alex Smith. It's a bad move on their part. They're just trying to totally remove themselves from the previous regime. I'm with you. This year should be about Dwayne Haskins because you already have like you have the built-in excuse of saying that's not my guy, so why don't you find out if he is indeed your guy? But I think what Ron Rivera is doing is look at the NFC East right now. Like, I don't want to lose a game that I could win with a Kyle Allen just to figure out if this guy is good or not, because this is an attainable division for a bad team.
So let me walk some of this back and offer some clarity on what it is that we're talking about, because Mike started the discussion talking about his argument about black and white quarterbacks with Bomani Jones. And I don't want what I just said to sound like some black president of the Washington football team has to take the black quarterback. But just to untangle this so you understand what my thought process was on this, the way that Bill Polian, six-time executive of the year, swings and misses on the most valuable player of the league being a quarterback is because he's got a prototype in his head. It does not mean Bill Polian is racist. It does not mean that there is racism at the core of what he's doing. He's just got in his head, in his past, in his experience, what a quarterback looks like, and that quarterback looks more like Peyton Manning than it looks historically like Lamar Jackson.
It looks like Arch.
And so what I'm explaining to you as it relates to the Washington football team is the way real change happens at the top of the power structure is owners and presidents become black guys and minorities, and they start taking the chances and the risks on some of the guys like Haskins, and then they stick with it because they've invested in it the way that Gettleman has invested in his version of the quarterback, which is Daniel Jones looks like all the other guys before him. And so Daniel Jones gets a longer run than Haskins, even though they're both pretty terrible. Like, I'm not sitting here making the argument on behalf of Dwayne Haskins. I think he's a total dud. I don't think he would have been a pro. That also was an alarmingly short period that he got to prove it, and Daniel Jones will get more time because the people at the top of the Giants structure have invested in the guy who looks like quarterback prototypes they've seen in the past.
And it's a similar situation, right? Because both those football teams have new structures in place. Joe Judge with this is a ridiculous hire because he wasn't even standing close to Bill Belichick. He was a wide receivers coach. He was on the other, like,
he was
the
guy who was the furthest away from Bill Belichick.
Mike, no, he wasn't the furthest away. That's the guy running the Texans who was in the chapel because he was Patriots team chaplain.
Right. But it seems pretty obvious. And we have to keep in mind, like, Ron Rivera, like, if you're looking for, like, some sort of nefarious situation here, I don't think this is the right situation with Jason Ryan and Ron Rivera. Ron Rivera was Cam Newton's head coach for a long time. It's very clear to me that they're just trying to totally disassociate themselves from the previous culture and rebuild a culture. I don't know if you remember the stories surrounding Dwayne Haskins. A bunch of football people were trying to weigh in, and that was Daniel Snyder's guy. It wasn't even based on merit. He was born near Washington. He was a Washington football team fan the entire time. Snyder's wanted him since he was a teenager as his head coach. There's obviously more to Dwayne Haskins. There's reports now that he would just celebrate throwing for 300 yards.
Yeah, it's that he was irresponsible and immature. But that tends to be the quickest way to failure, and also the quickest smear job when you're trying to separate yourself from a failure, because it's the same thing that RG3 and Jamarcus Russell
and a
bunch of guys get on their way out their door. Like, they get on the way in, their draft value dropping because they're a character risk, and then when you've untethered yourself from them, you hear all the anonymous source reports that Haskins was immature.
And Cam Newton got hit with a lot of that unfairly because Cam Newton seems to be one of the greater competitors in terms of, like, will to win in that sport. His body just gave out on him last year. I do think that there's a body of work with Ron Rivera that you have to give him credit for. And if we're just holding up Dwayne Haskins, give him more time, ultimately the merit of our argument falls apart when none of us actually feel Dwayne Haskins is very good.
That the thing that is troublesome about making Kyle Allen your guy, if you're Ron Rivera, is we can all see their quarterback position and know it's the worst group of quarterbacks in the league. Like, you won't come up. It'll take you a minute to come up with a second place. Maybe you'll end up in Jacksonville or something. But
Jacksonville, maybe the Giants.
It's going to be hard to find a second place on Kyle Allen, Alex Smith, and now, you know, they're going to try and trade Haskins, the reports are. And I don't know who would invest in that, because he did. He looked like a dud. He did not look like a good quarterback.
Try the Jets on for size. I mean,
I tell you where you won't end up, and that's the Dolphins quarterback room.
Way to bring it back. Is Ryan Fitzpatrick outside of Tannehill? I think we all agree Tannehill was probably better than Fiedler in terms of post-Marino.
He certainly
yes.
was.
Yeah, so Fitzpatrick has found its way into this crappy Mount Rushmore of post-Dan Marino quarterbacks for the Miami Dolphins. Has he not?
He's fighting with Pennington for that spot on the mound.
I mean, Pennington won an MVP, man.
No, second. Second.
That's all right. But he got you to the playoffs.
Mark Mosley won an MVP.
That's a good point, Dan.
Your Mount Rushmore, your Mount Rushmore of post-Marino Dolphins quarterbacks is Fiedler, Pennington, Tannehill. Fourth, Fitzpatrick, I think.
How about the backup, Moore?
Matt Moore?
He won him a playoff game,
no,
did he not?
He got them to a playoff.
He got him to a Steelers playoff. He didn't even get him there. He just happened
you
to be there.
The
listen, he was the quarterback when the playoff
you
game
can't
started.
Matt Moore, yes, and he lost it badly.
I already have two on the Mount Rushmore, actually.
Well, how do you feel about Fitzpatrick, though? Because everywhere this guy goes, it's been a fairly amazing career, not just because it's been 10 teams or 8 teams or whatever it's been, not just because... you know, Bill Belichick laughs himself to sleep at night because every team in the AFC East has tried Fitzpatrick as the way to dethrone him. But it seems like he's a fan favorite with every damn team he plays for.
He is fifth in the NFL in QBR. Like, he's ahead of Russell Wilson. That's crazy.
Mike Ryan was making the argument the other day. He was feeling really fragile because... He got out there with Baker Mayfield, if I put him in the 90s, would have been Steve Young. But then he amended and he's like, would Ryan Fitzpatrick statistically, if I put him in the 90s, been athletic Steve Young? Ryan Fitzpatrick has more rushing touchdowns than Bo Jackson. Like, that's
impossible.
That's a true stat. I am not making that up. That is an actual fact. Ryan Fitzpatrick has more NFL rushing touchdowns than Bo Jackson. End the segment there. We will not do better than that.
Before you go, Fitzpatrick's just going to end up being the starter for wherever Lawrence ends up. Like, that's his going to be his role as the fill-in bridge quarterback.
It's a great role, yes. 5 or 6 starts, you know, teach the new kid.
Until what age? Like, he's 37.
Forever.
You guys are 50.
Billy, you love Fitzpatrick, right? Never mind. I was asking Chris about Fitzpatrick, but you're the real Fitzpatrick lover. You want to put him in the Hall of Fame.
I like Fitzpatrick. Why not? Why wouldn't he be in the Hall of Fame? Look at what he's done for all of these teams, Dan.
How can you not, though? Is there anybody out there that hates Ryan Fitzpatrick? If you hate Ryan Fitzpatrick, you need to look in the mirror.
Mm-hmm.
Well, if anybody would hate Ryan Fitzpatrick, it's Stugatz, right? Because you're a fan of the team that actually gave him the contract he's been looking for his entire career, right?
Yeah, but he's just, but he's such a difficult guy to hate. Billy, I'm not certain he's not a Hall of Famer, by the way.
Oh, shut up.
He's close to 35,000 yards, 217 touchdowns, man. And he has more rushing touchdowns than Bo Jackson.
I will not entertain this.
I mean, why?
Because it's stupid.
Well, we'll see.
Hall of Famers don't play for 10 teams unless they're Ricky Henderson. That's it. That's the only one in the history of...
Who is the NFL Hall of Famer that's played for the most teams?
You can't play for the most teams when you're a Hall of Famer. Other teams don't get rid of you. That's not how it works.
Randy Moss played for a lot of teams.
Is it 4 teams with Randy Moss, all of them at the end?
Minnesota, Raiders,
Titans,
Patriots, Minnesota again. People forget about that one. And then he argued with someone in catering. And then the Titans.
Did you mention Raiders, right?
Yeah, Raiders to New England. And then the second stop at Minnesota.
How many teams for T.O.? 3 or 4?
No, he was...
San Francisco, Philadelphia.
Dallas.
And that's it?
Cincinnati.
Oh, wow. And he's a Hall of Famer.
Okay, half as many as Ryan Fitzpatrick. And please, Randy Moss and T.O. are best ever at their position. What are you doing?
I mean, well, it can't be two best ever at the position.
Right, right, exactly.
That's a good comeback. How about making the argument instead of uh-huh for Ryan Fitzpatrick? Feel free, either one of you.
Well, here, I will give you on Pro Football Reference the quarterback careers that they compare Fitzpatrick to, and it's some of the all-time greats. I mean, it's Lynn Dickey, it's Vince Ferragamo, and it's Mark Malone. I mean.
Mm-hmm. Next stop, Canton.
Frank Luckman.
Frank Gore might have the record for most teams played because he's going to stay in the league for another 6 years and he keeps doing the one-year deal thing.
Kenny Stabler's on that list, the snake.
I'm on this, and Morton Anderson right now is the leader in the clubhouse with 5 teams.
Right, I'm on it, though. Well, okay. You know. All right. Well, Frank Gore, can you list all the teams that Frank Gore has played for? Niners?
No, it's going to be Frank Gore.
Colts? Dolphins,
the Jets,
Bills. Mike. Bills. Yeah. That's only 5
is
for
Frank Gore? Is that it? Is that the entire list? Is there that. Not another one?
Yeah, he's
one
only been on 5 so far. Give him time.
Stugatz, how do you feel? I want an honest answer to this because it is a stat of the day to punctuate decades of the Jets being laughter. Your backfield this week during a pandemic, your backfield, because Sam Darnold's not coming back, right?
No, they're going to go with Joe Blacco.
So Joe Blacco and Frank Gore, that's your backfield.
Yep. In 2020, a guy who rushes for 3 yards per carry.
And Frank Gore.
Guys, it is Photoshop season in the NBA, and you guys saw the big news with Daryl Morey leaving the Houston Rockets. Some people are saying James Harden can be had. Would you want him with
That's
a Miami
funny.
Heat? Because James Harden doesn't seem to be a culture guy, right?
He seems to be an MVP guy, and you wouldn't want him if you're the Miami Heat.
He seems to be a James Harden guy.
Does James Harden stroll into practice and is Jimmy Butler cool with just everything James Harden does?
That's a funny question he's asking because in terms of prototype and age and everything else, you saw that Shams had that report yesterday, the Heat are going all in on the Greek Freak, which
every team is going all in.
I mean, of course.
Why wouldn't you?
Of course.
Yes.
But that fits a hell of a lot better than James Harden does. What they're talking about right now, the things you're hearing right now is that they might be able to get Oladipo for this year and still have the cap room to get Antetokounmpo the year after that. That's what those are the puzzle pieces a lot of people are putting together.
I think Giannis is obviously and clearly the better fit, but if you pass on James Harden and don't get Giannis, then what? Right? Like, Harden's available now. Giannis is not available until after next season. So then what?
To be fair, we're thinking James Harden can be had because if he
can be had, I mean.
Yeah. Well, I just don't know. Nothing in James Harden's career makes me think he's a fit outside of being an absolute superstar. And the Miami Heat are always.
He'd be an amazing fit if they didn't have Jimmy Butler. Just put everything through him and then let him set up the shooter.
I'm not even talking about, this is funny because I'm not even talking about Jimmy Butler, the basketball player, because I'm pretty sure I trust Jimmy Butler to fit in wherever makes a team best.
But hold on
a
second.
I'm talking about working hard.
All right, but if I asked you, this one's the interesting one because of their age, because they're both similarly aged. If I asked you, who do you want, Jimmy Butler or James Harden?
Man.
James Harden's MVP of the league.
You want James Harden. Come on.
If I'm any GM, I go with James Harden. He's very clearly historically going to be remembered as a superior player. But if I'm the Miami Heat GM.
But never mind the Miami Heat GM. If you're a Miami Heat fan, like, I'm putting it to you as a fan. I'm not putting it to you as a GM because I don't think Heat fans right now make that trade. If you told me straight up Jimmy Butler for James Harden, I would say, yes, James Harden's a better basketball player on one side of the court than Jimmy Butler is in a way that makes him one of the best scorers in the history of the league, but I don't think Heat fans would want that trade.
Well, Heat fans are emotional right now because Jimmy Butler just took him on an amazing journey, an amazing ride. But James Harden's, he's the better player. I mean,
better offensive player.
We were saying that James Harden, we were saying a year ago, Jimmy Butler needs to be your second or third best player for your team to be good. James Harden as your best player, your team's
good.
It's
so interesting what Mike's saying, though, because he's asking about the way pieces fit and the culture stuff And look, man, what you just saw is what I believe to be the greatest tribute to Pat Riley's architecture skills that I've ever seen, because the story in that bubble was this team creates an environment that maybe can get you close to here. It's not about who the players are. It's about the environment. Now, a lot of teams would like that reputation. Plenty of teams work hard. There's only one team in the league who now has that reputation stamped on them, and you're sick of hearing about it. You're tired of hearing about how the Miami Heat can work their way to the championship round. But James Harden ain't about working his way to the championship round, even though he's uncommonly strong, even though his skill set suggests that he has to work on that because that craft is difficult to perfect like that. He's got the reputation of somebody who's got a pot belly.
He's got the reputation of someone that none of us would think, oh, would he really embrace Heat culture? Would he really embrace getting into the best shape of his life? Would he embrace having Jimmy Butler call him at 3 a.m. for...
But if he did, Mike, how much better would it be?
I think anybody who watched Game 3 and Game 5 and those Jimmy Butler performances, Stu Gotts,
yes,
knows how exactly how hard it was to win those games.
I know. Now give him James Harden.
You need someone to make it easy.
Yes.
Stu Gotts, the thing that I marveled at, because a lot of people saw the viral video of Jimmy Butler after Game 5, laboring out of the press conference in a way that looked like a lot of 50 and 60 year old people get out of bed who are not any kind of fit. And having actually talked to some people about this, it's the worst Jimmy Butler has ever felt after a game. Could barely get out of bed the following morning. He's never felt anything like that as a career hard worker. And now I want you to absorb the idea that LeBron has spent 15 years having the game that Jimmy Butler had once.
Right.
Think about what we're saying there, like in terms of what it does to your body when it breaks down Jimmy Butler's body to have to play 47 minutes against LeBron James in order to beat him one time to be better than LeBron James at his best, to be better than LeBron James, what LeBron James has been for 15 years.
So a couple of things. We had to remember Jimmy was with... without Goran, without Bam, for the most part, right? Because Bam wasn't 100%. But after that game, and remember them asking, and this is the amazing thing about LeBron James, they asked Jimmy, hey, do you feel, or they asked LeBron, do you feel like you let a legendary finals performance get away? Because he had 6 or 7 threes that night. He played great. And he said, no, I'll do it again the next night. and you couldn't say the same about Jimmy. I don't think Jimmy would have told you he'll do it again the next night.
You say, I want you guys to absorb this because of all the criticism LeBron James has gotten over 15 years being compared to Michael Jordan. You just said without Goran and Bam. Now I want you to imagine getting the finals with Matthew Dellavedova and Mo Williams.
Crazy.
Like, we're talking about seasons of this shit.
Yeah, and 5 years ago, LeBron was picking up like the most difficult guy to guard and trying his best on defense. He didn't have to do that with the Lakers that much. He would pick him up in crunch time. The most amazing part of that Jimmy Butler game 5 performance, because game 3 is like, I'm on LeBron. Game 5, he was mostly on Anthony Davis. And then in the fourth quarter, he was just running everywhere. I'll pick up LeBron. Oh, we'll trap Anthony Davis. That to me was the most amazing part. LeBron sees what Jimmy Butler has to do. This guy has to work so damn hard to put up that performance. And I've got Anthony Davis there. I am capable of putting this up in 2 nights. You try your best, Jimmy Butler. You can't.
Wait, Dan, do you think that can work? Harden and Butler together, I'm asking.
I think Butler can make it work with whomever, and I'm not going to be the guy who ever says, I don't want an MVP talent. How old is James Harden? 31? Like, I don't want...
Exactly, sure. And it should be noted that I remember when Jimmy Butler was in play and he gave a list of teams that he was willing to go to, Houston was hot talk as a destination for Jimmy Butler. They were in on it, and he seemed to be okay with that pairing. It's just... we know from Jimmy Butler's history, he hasn't gotten along with guys that aren't about that work. Ben Simmons, Karl-Anthony Towns, Andrew Wiggins. We don't know enough of what it's like
to... I think it underestimates how good... James Harden can't be that good without working at it, Mike. It's not... that's right. Not a skill set that a holy man reaches into your crib with.
He has alienated teammates, though.
He has. He's 31 years old. But, Mike, the last two seasons, he's averaged 35 points per game.
He's got all the usage rate,
but no, wait a minute. The question isn't whether you would take James Harden. The question is whether you would nuke your ability to get Greek Freak because you've taken James Harden.
Precisely. Yeah. What do you like better, pairing James Harden Ooh. With this Miami Heat team, you probably have to part, because that's a trade. You have to part with some young
pieces.
That's
the other thing. No, you're going to have to trade something of good value for James Harden.
Probably Tyler and like an Olynyk contract and maybe some picks.
But then you're, you know, Giannis could still win a championship with Milwaukee, probably doesn't leave. I mean, there's...
People aren't in on the Oladipo stuff because they remember Oladipo for what he looked like post-injury last year. I myself have trouble working up some
excitement.
He looked
slow and broken, yes. Yeah.
You trade for Oladipo, you get his bird rights, and you sort of say, hey, reserve. You have the guys with the Nigerian ties sort of playing together, and Bam Adebayo, Oladipo, and the dream that everybody wants, which is Giannis Antetokounmpo. That is an annoying team to play. That is a team that works hard. That is a team that can make it easy because, keep in mind, Oladipo's a guy that played point guard. He can create his own shot. If you remember Oladipo, the All-Star, and he has those Dwayne Wade, Agent Dwayne, once again recruiting these guys because that's one of his mentors, I could see it being a fit, especially if Miami Heat get him in the best shape of his life.
What would the Rockets, you think, want from the Heat? It'd be Bam, right?
I think it's the same package that we're always talking about, the Bradley Beal. Not Bam. Bam's off the table. But Hero, Nunn, Olynyk, picks. You got to make the money work, so Olynyk's got to find his way in it.
I got a funny question for you guys here, because when we were doing those Twitch stream broadcasts on the Heat games, one of the things that Amin El-Hassan said that was a bit of a mind bender was, if you traded straight up Anthony Davis for Jimmy Butler, would the Miami Heat have been in the finals? And everyone on that Twitch chat, the basketball minds who know more than we do, everyone said that they wouldn't have made it to the finals with Anthony Davis instead of Jimmy Butler, while also saying that Anthony Davis is a better player than Jimmy Butler. What if I were to ask the Miami Heat fans in our audience right now, the emotional Miami Heat fans, let's say you can make the contracts work out and you could do it. You could actually do this hypothetically. Would you, Heat fans, trade Jimmy Butler and say Tyler Hero straight up for Giannis Antetokounmpo, the MVP of the league? Because I would in a second, in a heartbeat.
I would tomorrow. I mean, yes.
But I believe that Heat fans might be too emotional about the same reason that they make arguments against, I don't want James Harden anymore. I don't want the guy who's MVP good. I just want my guy, Jimmy Butler. I believe I could absolutely hear the audience here saying, no, thank you. I'll keep my team the way it is. We just beat Giannis Antetokounmpo. Why do I want Giannis Antetokounmpo? Jimmy Butler just took him out in 5 games.
I think Heat fans would be okay because it's Giannis. If it was James Harden or any other superstar, even Anthony Davis, I don't think Heat fans would be okay with that. I think you're right.
Heat fans, Heat Twitter, this has been a divisive topic on it. There are just Heat fans that have been so indoctrinated in the culture that just straight up know. I don't care what we're giving. I don't even want to have the conversation. Right. No, not a fit.
All right, let me ask Tony this question. We've gone down this path. Your thoughts are what on everything that's just happened here? As a Heat, as a person who loves the Miami Heat, what do you think about the idea of James Harden in a Heat uniform?
I think that it's difficult with all of the gentleman establishments that are around South Florida to get him into Miami. On top of that, with South Beach, I mean, there's actually, and we've talked about this before, there's studies where in the cities that have great strip clubs, James Harden's play is down like a percentage, like a good percentage. And it'd be tough for him with, you know, with Tootsies and the different things of the nature here in South Florida.
11 is a good breakdown. 11 is
to have him here.
Tony, you're absolutely right. This is quantifiable. We can't have James Harden down.
What great advanced metrics from you, Tony. Excellent work from you going into the database of advanced stats and really nuking the possibility of that trade, because he'd be out of the league by 32. And half of Dade County would be pregnant.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.